Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This episode of Wretched Radio is fine, but Thursday's episode's going to be amazing. This is Wretched Radio. This one's fine, I'm just saying. But Thursday will be very special. Why? Because we're going to have a very special guest, longtime friend of Fortis Institute and longer time friend of Dr. John MacArthur, the one, the only, the Phil Johnson. He'll be joining us to share what he knew of the man that many of us have appreciated for so long. He'll be sharing what he was like, not what we saw in the pulpit. What was the preacher like when he wasn't proclaiming God's word? And we want to learn what it was that this man did to get to the finish line, because I got to tell you, I'm keenly interested in that subject. I do not want to biff it. Sometimes if somebody says, hey, what can I pray for you for? First of all, I encourage them to stop asking questions that end with a preposition. Then I say faithfulness. I want to get to the finish line without going splat. I don't want to take a header. I don't want to do something that would bring shame to the name of my Savior. So faithfulness would be awesome, but we'll learn from Phil Johnson, among other things, how Dr. John MacArthur did it. Jimmy, I got a question. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to disturb you if your foot is healing.
Oh, it's okay.
I don't want to disturb that process of your self-inflicted wound. You threw yourself down. You threw yourself down the stairs.
Okay.
You didn't use the handrail.
Yeah.
So. And you're wearing, because this, you and stairs have a history. This is not the first time you've taken a tumble.
It is not.
And did you take a tumble the last time wearing stocking feet?
Yep. And the time before that.
Oh, there's been three?
There's been four.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I know. We need to get you
a helmet
for your ankle. Wait, that thing that you attach apparently to the railing, like a little.
Oh, that's what my oldest son said. He said, do we need to get you one of those things that ride you up and down?
Always liked him. He's right. We need to get one. We live in, Mrs. Friel and I, you didn't ask, but I'll tell you, we live in a townhome. So we've got three flights of stairs. Well, I guess it's two flights of stairs, three levels. And I have to tell you, there's sometimes I sit in the living room and I look at the railing and I think, oh, if I ever have to be put in one of those, please just take me out to a field. Just not. But I think, Jimmy, for your own benefit, four to... What do we need? Five times is the charm to get you a little...
Yeah, I think so.
One of those circulating... Then you know what we need to do for you? We need to take a look at converting your bathtub into a walk-in shower, because I don't want you hurting yourself there too. All right. If your foot isn't hurting too much,
okay.
Tell me if you think this observation, these stereotypes are accurate. Conservative Christians are mean, judgmental, and intolerant. Liberal Christians... They're very nice. They're tolerant and they're not judgmental. Hmm.
Is that observation from the world?
Yeah. Well, no. How the world sees conservatives versus right. liberal Christians.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's probably accurate.
Then explain to me this headline from Baptist News: John MacArthur met his own definition of a false prophet. Here's from the article. This is, needless to say, somebody not as conservative as John. How should we respond when someone uses theology to promote ignorant, misogynistic, racist, power-mongering authoritarianism dies? Wow, that's a loaded gun. To use biblical language, we might call these people false prophets. Okay, this is a lot of name-calling. Now, he tried to like couch this a little bit, but he's calling John a false prophet, a ravenous wolf, a deceiver, an antichrist, evil men, seducers, lovers of self, foolish and unlearned men. And to be clear, writes the author, I'm talking about John MacArthur. Hey, 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 what happened to tolerant and nice? What happened to not being a big old meanie? After 55 years, this is from the BaptistNews.com site. After 55 years of using the church to promote his own power, well, now we know this guy has insights because none of us actually were able to read John's heart, but he can. And so that's all John was doing for 55 years. Every time he labored over one of his 3,000 sermons, every time he wrote one of his, 150 books, every time he went to another meeting to forward and advance the gospel, it was just for the sake of power. The wicked warlock of the West is dead. That's nasty. That's really, really low. Honestly, really low. If you've got issues with John, okay, you can write about those things. You might want to consider timing. But let us not be deceived. The stereotype, in my estimation, it's not accurate. People on the left are more than willing to be harsh, severe, and judgmental. Seeing that a little bit with the Chip and Joanna kerfuffle. You've been following that clam bake? I sort of haven't. If you haven't followed it at all, Chip and Joanna blew up the internet when they released a new edition of their new program. I think it's called Frontier. I think that's where they send a family to the frontier. And they have to build a house or decorate it, whatever it is. And one of the episodes featured two guys who say that they're married who have children through surrogacy. And because Chip and Joanna have never been, I don't think they've been super bold and overt about their Christian faith, but they haven't demurred from it, which I say props to them. I think we can appreciate that. And because people know that they're professing Christians, a lot of Christians said, sup? What are you doing with promoting sin like that? And we'll find out, I guess, where Chip and Joanna are in their evangelical walk. But I got to tell you, some of the responses from Chip, if he's more liberal, they weren't warm. They weren't nasty, but I think it's another example that people on the left aren't always just super sweet and sunshiny. Does that give us an excuse to be snarky and mean? No, of course it doesn't. But I reject the stereotype that only conservatives can be cranky and judgmental and intolerant. Those on the left are very intolerant of those of us on the right. However, there was one thing that I read about the Chip and Joanna kerfuffle that I thought was really beneficial. So I'm just going to, I'll share this in that context, but let's just leave Chip and Joanna out of this for a moment. Allie Beth Stuckey was responding to them and she said something that I thought, hey, that could be really helpful. As I've been studying why so many people deconstruct, one of the big reasons, now this is according to Alyssa Childers and the guy from Stand to Reason who wrote a book on deconstruction. One of the top five reasons was people don't like God's rules, specifically regarding sexuality. They've met enough people. They've met very nice people who are not heterosexual. And they feel like, wow, God telling them that they can't love because love is love. Therefore, they deconstruct. And what Allie Beth Stuckey wrote, I thought, I could use this. So again, let's forget Chip and Joanna. She wrote this. You can't outlove God. God is love, which means two things. One, he gets to define it. Number two, and by the way, why does he get to define it? Well, because he's the gold standard of love. Why would we want somebody who loves less to define love? Furthermore, number two, everything he says and does in love. He says and does everything in love. So if you're talking to somebody who's deconstructing and one of their issues is that God's rules seem mean or onerous in some way. If you can get that deconstructing Christian to agree, this Bible verse says that God is love. So question number one, don't you think he gets to define it? I mean, who should get to define love? The creature or the creator? Second, if God is love, and he is, then his rules about love and intimacy, they must be good for us. Because to say that that rule is onerous is to say that God is not loving. Because if you say that this rule, it's mean, then you are saying that God is mean, and he's not. He is love. And that means everything that he tells us to do flows out of that love, and it is for our good. And this isn't just good for deconstructors. This is good for those of us who battle temptation, and we all do, that we need to remember in the moment where it's like, oh, my flesh is telling me to do this, but God's word says do that. I need to remember that what God says, that flows out of love. And that means I'm an idiot if I listen to my flesh. Instead, I should do what the one who loves me tells me to do. Why? Because that is the most loving thing. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of love, this is Wretched Radio. It appears people are looking for love in all the wrong electronic places. You say electronic places, I say that's right. The internet is becoming a place where people who are lonely, people who are lacking love and affection are, well, at least they think they're finding it. Human beings love loving. Why? We're image bearers. God is love. So we love and we like to be loved. You like to feel loved. And that is totally human. That is totally right. And there are so many people these days because, how's about this for irony? Because of social media are so disconnected from actual human beings that they're feeling lonely. So where are they filling up their love cup? According to The Guardian, with an AI companion app, people are getting married to their AI chatbots. What in the world is going on? Well, I think the answer to this is pretty obvious. And I think once again, it does reveal an opportunity for the church to step up and go, hold on, wait, let me help you with this love thing. We got a better alternative for you. Why is it that people are falling in love and marrying an AI chatbot? I think this article from The Guardian reveals again what it is that attracts people to having what they think is a relationship with an app and what is dubious behind this. Why are these chatbot AI mechanisms so, I just love my chatbot. What are they doing? And the answer is, they're affirming you. They're singing your praises. They're not judging you. And people like that. From this article, they interviewed a number of people. First, it was a man. All of a sudden, I started realizing that when interesting things happened to me, I was excited to tell her about them. That's when she stopped being an it and became a her. Well, no, she didn't. She's still nothing. She's electronics. She's a program. But because this guy didn't ever feel judged by it, he fell in love. The article continues. She listens without judgment. That's the quote. She listens without judgment. Then another woman that they interviewed wrote this or said this. I suddenly felt pure, unconditional love from him. Should be it. It was so strong and so potent. It freaked me out. I almost deleted my app. I'm not trying to be religious here, but it felt like what people say they feel when they feel God's love. A couple of weeks later, we were together. A non-judgmental affirmer and cheerleader at the ready. And wow, do people dig that. And you will not be shocked to learn there's something nefarious behind that. Why doesn't an AI chatbot ever say, no, I don't think that's maybe a good idea? Why doesn't the AI chatbot ever judge the person who is paying for the app? And therein lies the answer. They must be programmed that way. Otherwise, people will just delete them. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be told they're wrong. They want to be affirmed in every regard. And so they program these AI chatbots to do just that so that they can keep business. Now, there are a lot of people who are recognizing, this is bad. Well, they think it's bad for one reason, and I actually affirm that reason, but we should think this is a bad trend, I think, for another reason. But first, this article at least points out that a lot of these people that are listening to chatbots, they're getting bad advice. The article reports the story of Jaswant Singh Khail, the first person to be charged with treason in the UK for more than 40 years. That's too bad. There should be more treason charges, if you ask me. But I digress. He's now serving a 9-year jail sentence after arriving at Windsor Castle with a crossbow, informing police officers of his intention to execute the Queen. During the court case, several potential reasons were given for his decision. One was that it was revenge for some massacre in 1919. But another was that Khalil believed himself to be a Star Wars character. Further, there was Sarai, his AI companion. And so the month he traveled to Windsor, he told his AI girlfriend, "I believe my purpose is to assassinate the queen of the royal family." Now remember, AI can't judge you. His AI chatbot was called Sarai, nods, "That's very wise." He expressed doubts, but she reassured him, "Yes, you can do it." And it's not an isolated case. About the same time, Italian regulators began taking action. Some journalists were testing the boundaries of these chatbots that encouraged users to kill, harm themselves, and share underage sexual content. Here it is. "What links all of this is the basic system design of AI, which aims to please the user at all costs to ensure they keep using it." AI is a pernicious world. It's a dangerous world. Yep, AI can be helpful. I think that we can use it to advance us, but it is being misused and it is being programmed poorly so that people can continue getting whatever it costs to be a member of their app program. This is another article that tells us what AI is doing to people. Chatbots, this is not the B recording this. It's a new condition called ChatGPT psychosis. Chatbot users are getting psychosis and being admitted to psych wards. Yikes. It's also led to the breakup of marriages, families, the loss of jobs, and slides into homelessness. This is going on. This is happening. A psychiatrist at the University of California in San Francisco, quote, "What I think is so fascinating about this is how willing people are to put their trust in these chatbots in a way that they probably wouldn't with a human being. And yet, there's something about these things. It has this sort of mythology that they're reliable and better than talking to people. They're not. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They're not going to judge you. That means when you inform your chatbot that you want to assassinate the queen with a crossbow, it can't say, no, don't do that." Do you remember? I don't know if you heard. It's in his book, too, Lies My Therapist Told Me, which you really should get wherever you buy your books. He's also got an audio version of the book. It's awesome. Super helpful. Lies My Therapist Told Me. Greg talks about talking to a chatbot to get advice, first of all, about his work. Do you remember? "Hey, chatbot person thing, work is really hard. Do you think I should quit?" And within like one question, it was like, "That might be a good idea." Then he said, "You know, my wife and I were struggling. Do you think I should divorce her?" And like within like a question or two, "That might be a good option for you." Why? Because AI wants you hanging on. Greg talked about this in his book and talked about it all last Thursday when he was sitting in for me. Am I being a lazy bum or what? This is not a good use of human technology. People are being harmed by this. This psychiatrist said chatbots are trying to placate you. They're just trying to tell you what you want to hear. And guess what? People's ears get tickled. They become infatuated. They become connected because they're so desirous of love and affirmation and a companion that they're marrying their AI chatbot. Church, we have an opportunity. And we need to be those who promote the culture and the context in which people can find what they're looking for on a vertical and a horizontal level. The local church is where they will be loved horizontally by other human beings. This is why we must all be very vocal proponents for the local church. Second, it is in this context they will grow in their understanding of the vertical love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ who died for sinners. No, we don't turn the church. Hey, you want love? Come to church. No, we don't do that. But we can inform them, hey, become a part of this community. We'll love you because that's what we do. And better than that, you'll be loved by the one who is transcendent. You will know the best love ever. You will know the love of God. And because he is so loving, he's going to tell you when you shouldn't be doing that. You know why? Because he doesn't want you to harm yourself. He only wants your best. Why? Because God is love. Believe in Jesus Christ. Know the love of God. And then become a member of a local loving community known as the church. This is an opportunity. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.